A few weeks ago, representatives from all of the Great Lakes states and two Canadian provinces spent time in the Waukesha area. The delegates are tasked with deciding whether the city's application to tap into Lake Michigan in order to replace its radium-contaminated well water should be allowed.
More than 200 people showed up at a public hearing to share their views before the Great Lakes delegates. The deadline for public comment on the proposal is a week from today. Jenny Kale is director of the Center for Water Policy at UWM's School of Freshwater Sciences. Her expertise includes conflicts across borders and cooperation related to river and lake systems.
Kale spoke with Lake Effect Susan Bentz and shared her perspective on the importance of the Great Lakes Compact and Waukesha's application.
There are a lot of water agreements, but there's nothing quite as formative for water policy in the future as the Great Lakes Compact. Just based on its magnitude and the inclusiveness and the amount of support that it has received, has a lot of bipartisan support in the region, but also at the national level. And it really has set some environmental and legal boundaries for the ways that we can use water outside of its hydrological limits in terms of political boundaries or drawing some lines around areas that can or can't use the water. River systems in this country have great water sharing policies. Large aquifers have good water sharing policies, but there's nothing quite as foundational as the Great Lakes Compact. So that's why this precedent is so important, because, you know, being able to breach the boundary of that compact, even though Waukesha is a straddling county, is going to be very deterministic for future policies and whether or not other areas of the Great Lakes are going to uphold the compact or whether or not they're going to undermine it for cities that are in similar situations as Waukesha.
So would it be fair to say, do you believe that the world is looking at this, or the country is looking at it, or how widely is this a discussion point in your international circles?
Mm-hmm. I think at the national level, it has generated some interest. It's definitely generated interest in the other Great Lakes states and in Canada. They're watching this very closely now. At first, I think there wasn't enough attention paid to this important precedent, but now, you know, New York and Ohio, certainly Michigan, a variety of the Great Lakes states are now paying much closer attention to what this application is going to look like and what it's going to mean in the case of Wisconsin and for the Great Lakes as a whole and for their states as well. Internationally, Canada obviously is paying close attention, but I haven't seen a lot of other international attention to this issue yet.
So let's talk about the interplay of how Canada fits into this decision and what you expect might occur.
Okay. I don't expect that Canada will approve the application. So for the Great Lakes Compact, Canada is a participant, but can't technically veto the decision made by the eight states, because the eight states are not allowed by the federal government to engage in an international treaty on their own with Canada. And so the Great Lakes have an agreement, and they've included the two Canadian provinces involved in Great Lakes stewardship. But again, since Canada can't actually veto a decision made by the eight states or the U.S., Canada will refer back to an older treaty that they have with the U.S. And they're highly likely, if the diversion application goes through and the other states in the U.S. approve it, which I also think is unlikely that every state will approve it, then Canada will have to be consulted. And Canada can disagree with it, and it's possible the U.S. could still make it happen unless Canada refers back to the treaty that they have between the U.S. government and the Canadian government. And I strongly believe they will do so, because that's the only internationally recognized treaty between the countries, and they will veto it at that point through that mechanism.
What is that treaty? What does that entail?
That's an older treaty from the 1920s between the U.S. and Canada about jointly managing the Great Lakes, so that if significant decisions are made about the stewardship of the Great Lakes, both countries would have to agree. In this case, if the eight states agree, then they can pass what they need to in the U.S. To get the diversion done with the consultation of Canada, even if Canada agrees. But the treaty is going to require that the Canadian government agree that the U.S. has not breached its responsibility in stewarding the Great Lakes in a way that would negatively impact Canada, and I highly doubt they will agree that is the case.
So you mentioned earlier that the Great Lakes are unique, that there's other Great Lakes, there's, you know, large lake systems in other parts of the world, but it is a unique location with Canada as being our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is unique also in its size. It is the largest freshwater surface resource that we have in the world. It's about 20, some people estimate 24% of all of the world's surface freshwater is in our Great Lakes. So that gives us an even greater responsibility to steward this vital resource responsibly. But it's also unique in that other large lakes don't have five lake systems with them, and they don't cross as many boundaries, political boundaries, state boundaries, and international boundaries, with the exception of the African Great Lakes. They do cross a lot of countries' boundaries. But the Great Lakes are large and they're shared between the two countries as opposed to just being internal to one country, which would make it a lot easier to have unilateral decision making. But in this case, we have already agreed with Canada that we're going to share the resource and we're going to steward it together.
Is there sharing of water or fights around water in other places in the world that you have followed that give you a frame of reference on this topic?
Yes, and there are two things that come to mind. One is how fiercely different countries will fight for their water resources. And the second is how complicated the interests are. So there are a lot of stakeholder interests, but there are commercial interests, there are recreation interests, there are fishing interests, there are political interests, economic interests. And as I mentioned, countries will fight fiercely to protect those interests around their water resources. And then the second thing that comes to mind really is river systems. Large river systems cross many boundaries, and the political and economic fights in a lot of regions of the world that share large river systems have turned violent on occasion. I don't anticipate that would happen between the U.S. and Canada, of course, but it does give a frame for how vital these resources are, and again, how fiercely countries will fight to protect them. And I think that is something that can apply to the Great Lakes, in that we don't want our disputes to turn that bitter and nasty here, and we certainly don't want to have border disputes or legal disputes going on for decades about mismanagement of water resources that we share with Canada.
There's so much conversation in the United States around the country about stresses, stressors, the value and the concerns around water internationally. Do you have a closing thought on that, framing it around the compact in this specific application?
Mm-hmm. Internationally, waters are extremely stressed, as you know, and we're facing a global water crisis, which makes it all the more fortunate for us to live in this region and to be working so hard to protect such a tremendous water resource that we have here. So again, you know, with billions of people not having access to clean water for public health and sanitation, for cooking and cleaning and drinking water, for people that are dealing with diseases that are spread as a lack of public sanitation. Dying of thirst is an extremely painful process. Dying of hunger is an extremely painful process. And we have billions of people around the world facing those direct water-related crises. And we have the largest surface freshwater resource under our care. And again, that gives us all the more reason and responsibility to take care of this precious resource so that it can stand the test of time and it is sustainable for our future needs as well as our current needs. And we really have the opportunity to set a model worldwide as well. If you do have access to such a precious freshwater resource, how do you care for it responsibly? And because of our position of power and prestige in this country and in the Great Lakes region, I believe we really do have a responsibility, and we really do have the opportunity to demonstrate what is possible if you do care for such a resource in a responsible way.
Jenny Kale is director of the Center for Water Policy at UWM's School of Freshwater Sciences. The public comment period on Waukesha's Great Lakes Water Diversion application ends a week from today on Monday, March 14th.
A decision could be announced by the end of next month. All eight Great Lakes states must unanimously agree in order to approve an application.